Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah, Ted Amud Aleph. The Mishnah, as we already noted in the beginning of the Perek, is going to deal with Olat Ha'Of, because the Tosafot discussed at the beginning of the Perek that the order was Chatat Ha'Of, then Olat Ha'Of, and then we're going to parlay into Parim Nisrafim, Sirim Nisrafim. This Mishnah is structured basically similar to the first Mishnah in the Perek, which is that there are threshold points along the way when you process any Korban that trigger certain things to come about. And what the Mishnah is doing is laying out those trigger points for each one of the korbanot. Some of them are similar, some of them are slightly different. So there's a lot of repetition, and it also is good chazara of the Gemara and Zvachim with regards to the different korbanot that we bumped into, both in terms of korbanot of the oath, korbanot ha-behema, and then korbanot ha-mincha. All of those are going to be mentioned in the Mishnah. And it's going to have the same genre of layout. There'll be a first trigger, a second trigger, and then a third trigger, and then a question as to when the mitzvah ends. So, Olat Ha'Of, Mo'alim Ba Mishuk Tisha. Again, we're dealing with Kodshei Kodoshim, which we already discussed, that from the moment of their Hekdesh, meaning Hekdesh Bepeh, that already makes it that they are subject to Me'ilah from the outset. Nimlika, once Malika is done, Hukshira Lipasel, B'tvuyom u'mechusir kippurim u'belina, similar to the Chatat Ha'Of, Malika triggers the Hukshira we discussed yesterday's daf, that whether that just simply means it facilitates. According to Rashi, it indicated a higher level of Kedusha in the Korban, and therefore now it's subject to the possibility of being pasul with a Tvuyom u'mechusir kippurim, which are lower forms of Tuma, yet they still have the capacity to be pasul it. Discussed yesterday what that means, posel versus tamei, ubelina, and now if it's left over, it becomes a problem. And again, yesterday we discussed that Tosafot thought that was both linat dam and linat basar is triggered by the melika. That is because the linat dam obviously can't go past shki on that day. But even the linat basar, which is yom v'layla, the yom and layla that is chosen is determined by the shkita. Once you do the melika, that's what is koveya, in terms of which Yom V'Layla it is. Mitza Dama, so here as opposed to the Chatat, where there's Hazat Hadam, over here by the Olat Ha'Of, there's only one type of Nitinat Dam, which is Mitzat Dama. Once you have that, it's the equivalent of Zrikat Hadam, of a Korban, and therefore, Chayavin Ala Mishom, Pigol, Notar, Vitamei. All of these items can be triggered at this point. Pigol, because we know, Kehachsharat Kasher, Hachsharat Pasol, that the way that you do a kosher korban, that's what's koveya for pigol. It means you need to process the korban to the point of zrikat adam. And then if you had a machshevet pigol in any one of the avodot until that point in time, it makes it then that it is chayav pigol. But if you never get to the zrikat adam, then obviously that will not happen. And here zrikat adam is mitzui dama. We discussed yesterday the three different opinions of heter achila, which is the way we're describing it and discussing over here. Heter Zrika would mean that it doesn't actually have to have the Mitzat Adam. It just have to reach the capacity to have it, which means that once the Malika is done, the Dam is in the bird, and the Mitzui Adam is simply that squeezing of the blood out of the bird. If that's the case, then once the Malika is done already, it's Ra'ui for Mitzui Adam, assuming that you don't need any Holacha, because the way that an Olat Ha'Of is done is it's processed on the top of the Mizbech in the location where you need to do the Mitzui Adam. And then for the one who said Heter Shkita, the Baal Yat Tosafot knows that yesterday that generally Heter Shkita means you have to facilitate the ability to do Kabbalat Adam. By Oath, there is no Kabbalat Adam. So therefore, he basically is saying the same thing as Heter Zrika. As soon as you facilitate the ability to do Zrika, or Mitzui Adam, that's what triggers Pigol. As far as Notar and Tamei are concerned, there we discussed the fact that if someone has Tumata Guf, can't eat something, that's only in the case Nitar L'Tohorim. If Tohorim can eat it, or if it facilitates the ability of a Tohor to eat it, then Tumat HaGuf is relevant or has an impact. So that's why you need to have Mitzui Adam, because you have to have processed the Korban to the point at which someone could eat it. Here it's not a human being, here it's going to be the Mizbeach, but then Tamei Tumat HaGuf, someone who's Tamei Tumat HaGuf is going to have an impact. Notar, if it's left over, there's always a Xeres Shavah between Tuma and Notar, and therefore, whatever is true of Tumah, Taguf, is also true of Notar. That means that Notar is also triggered by the Zvikat Adam. But it also makes sense that then, if it's left off the Mizbeach, by the time Alot HaShachar comes around, that it's going to be problematic. Here, there's still me'ilah, even after mitzvah adam, because there's nothing of an olat ha'of that's going to be eaten by the kohanim, so there's no heter the kohanim. The entirety of the olat ha'of is going on the mizbeach, with the exception of the parts, notzata, morata, that are going to be pulled out and put in the beit hadeshen by the ramp of the mizbeach. So therefore, it has me'ilah associated with it, ashet teitzei the beit hadeshen, until it goes out to the beit hadeshen. Now, the Mishnah is going to use the term Beit HaDashen in a number of times, but it doesn't always mean the same thing. That is because there are numerous Batei Deshen that are laid out. First of all, there's one immediately next to the ramp of the Mizbeach, on the eastern side, the right side of the ramp up to the Mizbeach, which is located in the southern side. So to the east of that ramp, there's a Beit HaDashen, where the Tumat HaDashen was put, where the Deshen of the Menorah, Deshen Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the parts of the Olat Tov, the Dolom Mizbeach, were all placed there. That's one Beit HaDeshen. There's also a Beit HaDeshen that is in the Azara or on Har HaBayit that is used for burning things that were Kodoshim Shenifsalu BeAzara. So they have to be burnt. There's a Beit HaDeshen there. There's also a Beit HaDeshen Michutz Leir, outside of the city, where they take the Hotzat HaDeshen when they're finished with it. And the Parim and the Sefim, Sefim and Sefim are burnt over there. You have numerous Batei HaDeshen. So again, when the Mishnah uses the term Beit HaDeshen, it means different things in different contexts. So here, Asher Teitzei the Beit HaDeshen seems to be a reference to that which is on the Mizbeach. Meaning that once you put the Olat HaOf on the Mizbeach, it is consumed by the fire, the pyre that is in, and then it becomes coals, and then eventually becomes ashes. So now, what it means is, Teitzei the Beit HaDeshen, Rashi says over here, until the time that the ashes are taken off the Mizbeach for Tumat HaDeshen, there still is an issue of Mi'ilah, because that's when the mitzvah is done. The mitzvah is only done when you remove the ashes from the Mizbeach in Tumat HaDeshen. And we'll see in the Gemara that there's an alternate opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that even after Tumat HaDeshen, there's still a problem of Mi'ilah, until you do Hotzat HaDeshen, until it's taken out from here, outside of the Machaneh, where the Deshen is placed, outside of Yerushalayim. Again, we'll discuss that when we get to the Gemara. Right, Parim Nisrafim, Usarim Nisrafim. These are the first items that are mentioned in Ezu Mekoman, which is what the Baalei Tosafot had said. Maybe you would have wanted to start with these. Why is it that Chatat Ov Nalof Dov came before? Now we discuss because they have the maximum amount of what can end up on the Mizbeach. Now, the Parim and Nisrafim, Usarim and Nisrafim include two categories. They include the Pyre and Seir of Yom HaKippurim. That's the Seir Lashem on Yom HaKippurim, as well as the Pyre of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. It also includes the Par Helam Dabar Shel Tzibur and the Seir of Avodah Zarah, which are also Korbanot and Tzibur that are brought, where their dam is brought Lifnai V'Lifnim. And obviously, these items have nothing that's eaten by the Kohanim, number one. Number two is they have this aspect by which the Emurim end up on the Mizbech Kitzon, but the remainder of the animal is burnt in the Beit HaDashen. So, Ma'alim, Behem, Mishuk, Dushu. Again, the Dushat HaPeh, already they're subject to Mi'ilah, because we're dealing with Kodshei Kodoshim, whereby Mi'ilah starts immediately from the time that it's Hukdash. Nishchatu, here we have Shchita, which is the equivalent of what we saw by Malika, by the birds. Then, Hukshuli, Pasel, B'tvuyom, Mechuser, Kippurim. Then they already have the vulnerabilities to the Tumah of Tvuyom of Mechuser Kippurim. And even though, as Tosafot points out, it makes no difference whether the Parim Nisrafim or Sirim Nisrafim are Tmeim, because they're not going to be eaten anyway, and they're not going on the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, he says there is a nafkamina as to where you burn it, because Psulim are burnt in a different Beit HaDashen than from the regular Beit HaDashen where it would be burnt. And therefore, there is a nafkamina as to whether it is Tmeh or not Tmeh. Ubi lina. Again, once again, they have the issues of lina are opened up at that point. Huza daman. So when the dam is huza, over here they have different requirements. Some of them have requirements to be in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Some of them have requirements of being just in the Kodesh. They all have requirements of being on the Mizbeach HaZahav as well. So there are matnot dam that deal with what are called the huza daman. If their dam was sprinkled, meaning it was done properly inside the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that triggers the ability for pigul notar and tameh to be effective on these korbanot. there's still mi'ilah with them, even in the Beit HaDeshen, Haji Aticha Basar, until the flesh has been consumed, Rashi says, Haji Akel HaBasar Shanaseh Efer, until it's made into ashes, the Hainu Mitzvatan. As opposed to the korbanot that we've seen until now, whereby they're placed on the Mizbech HaChitzon, and then we have to wait for them to be ashes, and then Trumat HaDeshen, or maybe Hotzat HaDeshen, until the mi'ilah is over. Here, the Parim Nisafim and Sirim Nisafim are burnt Michutz LaMachaneh. They're taken out of the Machaneh. That's what the Mishnah and Yoma says, that anybody who was in the Azara watching that which was going on with the Kohen HaGadol did not see what was going on Har HaZitim with regards to the Beit HaDashen, and vice versa. If you were watching them burn the Parim Nisafim and Sirim Nisafim, you weren't seeing that which was going on in the Mikdash, because this is Michutz LaMachaneh. This is outside of Yerushalayim that they are burnt. So there is a mitzvah to burn them. The completion of that Mishnah is when they turn into ashes. So that's when it ends. There's no Trumat HaDeshen. There's no Atzat HaDeshen because they're already outside of the Mikdash. So once the mitzvah that applies to them, which is to burn them completely outside the Machanez, has been done, been completed, Mishnase mitzvato, there is no mer mi'ilah. So that's the point in time where there is no longer any mi'ilah. Ha'olah. Now we're up to the Korbanot HaBeima that are the ones that we are familiar with. Korban Olah, which is the highest level of the Kodesh HaKodoshim within the Korbanot HaBehema, the Olah, which is Kulo LaHashem. Once again, Mo'alim Ba Mishuk Tisha, at the time of Hekdesh Peh, that's when the Mi'ilah devolves upon the animal because of the fact that it's Kodesh Kodoshim. Nishchata, Shkita again triggers, Lukhshiradi Pasel, B'tvuyom, B'chusar Kippurim, U'bilina. Once again, Shkita facilitates the ability, exposes it, gives it the vulnerabilities to the Tuma of Tvoyom, Chutzar Kippurim, and then opens up the possibility of Lina, if the Dam is left over, if the Basar is left over. Mishin Yizrak Dama, once the Matanot Dam that are done in the Mizbech Chitzon, Shtei Matanot Chein Arba for an Ola, Chayvin Olea Mishom, Pigol, Notar, Vitameh. Again, all of these items kick in with the Zrikat Adam, as we discussed until now. Ve'ein Mo'alin Be'orot. But there is one nuance here, which is at the point of Zrikat Adam, the Orot, the hides, have been released from Mi'ilah. That is because the hides are going to go to the Kohanim. That means that they have Heter the Kohanim. Once they have Heter the Kohanim, there's no longer any Mi'ilah. So the remainder of the Olah has Mi'ilah associated with it, because it still has to be processed and put on the Mizbeach, and Mitzvato has not been complete. But the Orot now are released. This is why the Baal HaTosafot would say, that Olat Oth got priority. Because by Olat Oth, you don't have any of this. Nothing goes to the Kohanim. There is no head to the Kohanim. It's Kulo Mi'ilah. Over here, by the Olah of the Behema, the Orot, the hides, are not subject to Mi'ilah after Zrikat Adam, because they belong to the Kohanim. Aval, Mo'alim Ba'Basar, Achit Teitzei the Beit HaDashen. And here, you are Mo'el in the Basar. Basar means the Basar and everything else of the animal that's going to go on the Mizbeach, because the Olah goes completely on the Mizbeach. And here again, similar to what we saw by the Olah Ta'ov, it's actually Teitzei the Beit HaDashen, until it's taken out to the Beit HaDashen. Now the Olah is never taken out to the Beit HaDashen. It goes on the Mizbeach Chitzon, it's burnt on the pyre on the Mizbeach Chitzon. So what it means is either Trumat HaDashen or Atzat HaDashen, the other mitzvah that is performed with the ashes that completes the mitzvah associated with this Korban. At that point, the Mi'ilah will be removed from the Korban Olah. Katat Ve'asham, these are all categorized together because they are all kodshei kodoshim that have achila lakohanim. They are eaten by the kohanim zicharim in the azara, and they all of a similar ilk, which is that they are kodshei kodoshim, by which it's not kulo the mizbeach. There's no special dinim with regards to its basar. The basar goes to the kohanim, and the imurim go in the mizbeach. The matanot dam are slightly different. The chatat is arba matanot on the four corners of the upper, the karnot of the mizbeach. The sham and the zibchei sham yitzibur are shte matanot shehein arba. But they are sham yitzibur. There's only one set of sham yitzibur brought in the mikdash in any given year. Those are the sham yitzibur that are brought on Shavuot. That's the only time that we have sham yitzibur. But they are kodshei kodoshim because they belong to the tzibur. All of these korbanot, ma'alem, bahen, mishuk, dushu, they're kodshei kodoshim, therefore from the moment of haktashat peh, there's a din of mi'ilah. Nishchatu, with the shchita, hukshiruli pasel, v'tvuyom, v'chusar kippurim, v'bilina, what we've seen until now, shchita triggers these vulnerabilities. Nizrak daman, now once the zrikat adam comes up, Now we're going to have a bifurcation of the din. Chayivin aleihem mishum pigul notar v'tamei. You can trigger pigul notar v'tamei like by the other korbanot. V'ein mo'alim b'basar. Now there is no milah in the basar, because once the zrikat adam is done, heter l'kohanim, in order to eat the korban, that is, the korban that has been brought here. Therefore, no longer is there any mi'ilah associated with it. Aval mo'alim be'emurehem. The emurim still have a requirement to go on the mizbeach, and therefore they're subject to mi'ilah, ashetzu, the beit adashin. So they go out to beit adashin, similar to what we said by the olat behema. The beit adashin here is not required for the korbanot. They go on the mizbeach. They're burnt into ashes. And then there's a requirement of trumat adashin. Now, trumat adashin, that's what we're referencing to. Once it goes out to the beit adashin, that is naseh mitzvato, and then there's no longer any mi'ilah associated with these korbanot. Now, over here, it's harder to argue that the alternate opinions fit in over here. Because over here it says, nizrak daman. Nizrak daman means that the zrika was done. The one who says heter achila, that means literally the zrikat adam was done. The one who says heter zrika means that it had the potential for zrikat adam. The one who says heter shchita, over here you have a much harder time. Because for him already, once kabbalat adam was done, that should have been enough to remove the mi'ilah from the korban. And so it's likely that this Mishnah is much more problematic for that opinion that says heter shechita shaninu with regards to the removal of mi'ilah. We move over here now to the menachot. Within menachot we have the lechamim. We have the shtei lechem, the lechem apanim. That's what the Mishnah is discussing. Shtei lechem, mo'alim behem mishuk dushu. Once there was kdushat hapeh, then they already are subject to the din of mi'ilah because they are kochei kodoshim. Then, kyarmu bitanur. So once the bread starts to harden, crust of the bread starts to harden around it, then hukshuru lipasel b'tvuyom umchusar kipurim, and technically lina, but here, as you can see, it's in parentheses and taken out, and that is because, as Rashi explains over here, the din of lina is not relevant over here. It says, v'halcha leka mishum lina, we saw the Mishnayot that say that with regards to Shtei Lechem, they have a minimum of 2 days and a maximum of 3 days from the time that they are baked until the time that they are utilized. That's because the baking of the Shtei Lechem is not Doche Yom Tov and not Doche Shabbat. That means that on a normal Shavuot, when you bring the Shtei Lechem along with the Shalmi Tzibor, they're baked on Erev Yom Tov. And then they're eaten on Yom Tov. So that's already a minimum of 2 days. I mean, that's already laid overnight from the Erev Yom Tov till Yom Tov. And in the case where Shavuot falls out on a Sunday, like it did this year, then you have 3 days because it has to be baked on Erev Shabbat. And then you have Shabbat and then Sunday, which is Yom Tov. So it's a 3 day window. So that makes it clear that there's no issue of Lina. And that's why Rashi eliminates the word Lina from the Mishnah. We do know that it is a machloket in the Gemara Menachot as to whether the ovens were considered to be klisharet to be mikadesh the item. Now that is influential over here because if they are klisharet, once the mincha enters into klisharet, it is subject to lina. And so therefore, if the breads were baked in an oven that's classified as a klisharet, then they would be subject to lina. So obviously these breads were not baked in that way. Where they were baked also is a question, whether they were baked in Yerushalayim outside of the Mikdash, that's why there's no issue of klisharet, or were they baked in the Mikdash, but the oven of the Mikdash either was not nitkadesh or was not qualified to be a klisharet. But Rashi makes it clear that he thinks that the word lina should not appear in the Mishnah, and the Shita Mikubetzet sends you to the Tosafot in Zvachim and Daf Chaf of Mbet, where Tosafot quotes the Mishnah here from Ilah, and quotes it with the word lina in it. So he clearly believes that the word lina does belong in here, because he says it doesn't say yotze, it only says lina over here. And Tosafot back on Daf Chet Amud Aleph discusses whether the girsa should contain lina or should not contain lina over there. And favors heavily saying that it does have the girsa of lina over here. And he says that that is because the oven was mikadesh. And according to the one who says that the oven is mikadesh, it's also doche Shabbat and doche Yom Tov. And that's why there won't be any problem of lina, because it will be baked on Yom Tov, and it will be baked on Shabbat. The only problem then the Baitos would have is, then why does it have to wait until the bread crusts in order for it to be in Kadosh? Why isn't it kadosh immediately on entry into the kli sharet, into the oven? So Tosafot gives one answer, which is that it needs to be bread, or needs a shem lechem before it can become kadosh. Shita Mikubetzet over there brings an alternate answer to say that it was brought agav, that the threshold point was not the crusting for the issue of lina, but rather either when it entered into the oven, or even possibly if you hold that the oven is not mikadesh, then lina has a different rule, and it's just brought in with the other items, but it's not really governed by the same threshold point, and that only when it becomes mutar le'achila would it have that issue of lina. You can see a similar sentiment within the Rabbeinu Gershom over here. Okay, but the shkota le'em et zevach, the tarmuv et tanur, once they have crusted in the oven, they are classified as bread. Once they are classified as bread, then they're vulnerable to the psula yedei tvuyom mechusar kippurim. But they also now are able to have the zibche shalmi tzibur be shefted alehem. The way that you're mikadesh the shtei alechem is through the shchita of the zibche shalmi tzibur on Shavuot. So they have to be bread before that happens. So they're karmu b'tanur, they're already classified as bread. If they're classified as bread, then the shchita of the shalmi tzibur is impactful on them. If they're not classified as bread yet, then the shchita of shalmi tzibur cannot be mikadesh them, because they're not bread at that point in time. Nizrak daman shel kvasim, once the zrikat dam of the kvasim, and these are the zibchei shalmi tzibur, are done, then chayvin aleihem mishum pigul notar v'tamei. Meaning that a higher level of kiddusha does not happen in and of itself to the breads. That other korbanot that we've seen until now was either through zrikat dam or the mitzvah adam of those korbanot. That's what elevated it to this higher level. The ishtei alechem don't have anything like that. That is done by the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, which through their Shchita are Mekadesh the Lechem, and then through their Zrikat Adam, that is what affects the Shtei Lechem, elevates them to that higher level. So now they're subject to Pigul Notar V'Tamei. Meaning, if you have a Machshevet Pigul during the Zrikat Adam of the Korban, the Korbanot Shalmei Tzibur that are brought on Shavuot, and you think to eat the bread outside of its time, then that will create pigul for the shtei alechem. And the question of how influential that is, if the bread is pigul, does it affect the korban? Or if the korban itself is pigul, does that also affect the shtei alechem? We discussed that all in the Gemara in Menachot. And ein bahen mi'ilah. They have no mi'ilah because once they are nitkadesh, ayedei zrikat adam of the keves, then they are hutar lekohanim. The shtei alechem belong in their entirety to the Kohanim. Since they are het to the Kohanim, there is no longer any issue of mi'ilah. So that's why the mi'ilah only devolves upon them at the hakdashah, but then is removed at the point in time when the zrikat adam is done, because that's the completion with regards to gevoah about the shtei alechem, and therefore there's no mi'ilah from that point onward. Lechem apanim, regards to the lechem apanim that are put on the shulchan every week, there are 12 lachmaniot that are placed there. They're called the lechem apanim. As we know, the Gemara says because they had panim, because they had walls on other sides, therefore they had an internal space. Or lechem apanim, because they were brought bifnim, they brought into the kodesh. So they are the lechem apanim, which is also, again, a form of mincha. Mo'alim bo mishuk tusha. Again, tusha tapeh generates the problems of mi'ilah. Karam batanur, similar to the shtei lechem. Once it crusts in the oven, then ukshali pisel b'tvuyom mechusar kippurim. Again, here, there's the issues or vulnerabilities to tumah of tvuyom mechusar kippurim are then in effect. Missing from here, again, is lina. The reason is because, as Rashi notes again, that v'hacha nami leka b'lina, there's also no lina over here, because the lechem apanim nechal l'shmona the tisha l'asara. Lechem apanim is a minimum of 8 days before it's eaten, and then it could even be up to 9 or 10 days. It's a minimum of 8 days because it's baked on Erev Shabbat. It's put on the Shulchan that Shabbat, and then it's only eaten on the following Shabbat. So it's there for a minimum of 8 days on the Shulchan and before Hashem. So that's why there's no issue of Lina, because Lina applies to something that has a expiry. This has no expiry to it. It can sit on the Shulchan. We even saw possibilities in the Gemara Menachot, whereby if they didn't bring the bazichim, they could sit for additional weeks on the shulchan, and they would not be pasul as long as they remained there and the bazichim were not brought. Therefore, there's no issue of lina, and that's why it's not mentioned here. They are also, once they crust, they are now ra'oi, hazdir al gabei shulchan, to be set up on the shulchan. You need bread to be put on the shulchan. So their definition as bread is done by karmuba tanur, once they crust in the oven, and that's when they are then re'uim to be placed on the shulchan. Karvua bazichim. The bazichim were the two spoonfuls or utensils that had within them the frankincense, the levonah. They were placed on the shulchan along with the lechem on Shabbat. And then on the following Shabbat, the bazichim were hukrav. They're put onto the mizbeach. And that akravan, the mizbeach, is matir, the lechem. That is the hatarah, the equivalent of zrikat adam for the lechem apanim. Therefore, once the bazichim are put on the mizbeach, chayvin ala mishum pigol notar v'tamei, that triggers the possibilities of pigol, the possibilities of notar, and the problems of having somebody tamei tumat haguf eating, consuming these items. Rainbow me'ila. From the time that bazichim go on the mizbeach, there's no longer any me'ila, because the lechem apanim belong to the kohanim. They're going to be eaten by the kohanim. Therefore, they have het to the kohanim, and the din of me'ila is removed. Haminachot. Now here we get the stam minachot. Not the shtei lechem lechem panim, but just regular minachot. Mo'alim behem mishuk dushu. They have a din of me'ila from the time that they have haktashat ha'peh, where they're dedicated to be used towards the mincha. Kadshu b'kli. Once they are sanctified in the kli sharet, the mincha has to be placed into a kli sharet. When they're placed into kli sharet, hukshuru lipasel b'tvuyom u'mechusar kipurim u'bilina. That gives them the elevated status of kedusha, according to Rashi, or the facilitation here to then make them vulnerable to the tuma of Tvuyom and Chusar Kippurim. And here there is a problem of lina, like by all the korbanot, if the mincha, the kometz, is not taken off once it's in the kli sharet, or once the kometz is taken off, the shirayim are left over. Both of those have subject to lina, one of them at shkiyat hachama, one of them at the alot shachar on the next day. So there is a din of lina here. Karev ha-kometz. Once the kometz is put on the mizbeach, you have the separation away of the kometz, and as we spoke about in the Gemara Menachot, that parallels the shechita of the korban. The kometz is then placed into a kli sharet, according to most, taken to the mizbeach, that's holacha, and then it is put on the mizbeach, which is haktarat ha-kometz, or the equivalent of zrikat hadam in a korban. So over here, when the kometz goes on the mizbeach, it has the same effect as zrikat adam by the other korbanot. That means that you now chayvim alav mishum pigol notar v'tamei. That's what can generate these problems, either finalize the problem of pigol or generate the possibilities of notar and tamei. That is from the point of time that the kometz ends up on the mizbeach, which is the equivalent of zrikat adam. Vein molin bishirayim. The remainder of the korban mincha that was not put on mizbeach after the kometz goes on mizbeach is head to the kohanim. It's eaten by the zichrei kuna in the azara, and therefore there's no longer any mi'ila with regards to the shirayim. Aval, molim ba'kometz. The kometz itself is subject to mi'ila, ashetetze the beit adeshen. It's like anything else that we discussed until now, that was put on the pyre, on the mizbeach, it's still subject to problems of mi'ila until you complete the mitzvah. And that means either trumat adeshen or hatzat adeshen, until that point in time, they're still subject to mi'ila. Itmar hanene me'ifer tapuach shagabe amizbeach. Someone who gets benefit from the ashes that are on the pile on the mizbeach. The word tapuach we will bump into in the Mishnayot and Tamid in other places. It's a reference to the pile of ashes on the mizbeach. According to most of the Rishonim, the vast majority of the Rishonim, it references to the ashes that were gathered by the Kohanim after things were burnt on the pyre and they made into ashes. They used to gather the ashes and consolidate them in the middle of the mizbeach, and that would create some sort of tower of ashes, which is called the tapuach over here. And that tapuach was of different sizes based on the Mishnah and Yoma, depending on what time of the year you're speaking about. On a regular day, when you're speaking about the regel, when you're speaking about Yom Tov, all of these days had different amounts of ashes, depending on the number of korbanot that were brought in the mizbeach. It was seen as a type of glory about the usage of the mizbeach and the number of korbanot that were used in the service of Hashem. So the bigger the tapuach, the more glorious it is, because that's an indication of all the korbanot that are brought. And that's why they didn't necessarily remove it so fast. They used to leave it there to indicate the fact that there's tons of korbanot that are being brought in service of Hashem. That's the view of the vast majority of Rishonim. There is a raivud in the Mishnayot that suggests that the tapuach was not the ashes itself, rather a circular platform on the top of the Mizbeach. That in the center of the Mizbeach, there was a circular platform. That is the Tapuach. And that's what the reference to is over here. They put the ashes onto that Tapuach over there. But again, he's almost like a Dat Yachid with regards to this. But just know that that's an alternate view with regards to what the Tapuach is. So now you have those ashes that are piled up on top of it. So now, if you get Hanah from those ashes or that which is piled up in the Tapuach, what's the din? Rav Amar Ein Mo'alim Bo. There's no issue of Me'ilah. Rav Yochanan Amar Mo'alim Bo. There is an issue of Me'ilah. Lifnei Trumat HaDeshen. Before the Trumat HaDeshen is done, Kuliyam Alo Plige De Mo'alim Bo. Everybody agrees that there is Me'ilah. That's what we discussed in the Mishnah until it's taken out to Beit HaDoshen. So at least according to everybody, before it's taken out to Trumat HaDeshen, there's clearly a problem with Me'ilah because you haven't finished the mitzvah associated with it. Ki Plige, where they argue is, Lachar Trumat HaDeshen. After the Trumat HaDeshen is taken off, what is the status of the residual ashes after the Trumat HaDeshen is removed? The Trumat HaDeshen is taken off, and then it's placed next to the ramp of the Mizbeach. Once that mitzvah has been done, the residual that's on the Mizbeach, what's the story? Rav Amar Ein Mo'alim Bo. Rav says, you're done. Harei Naseh Mitzvato. All the mitzvot that are associated with this pile of ashes have been completed. The final one of which was Trumat HaDeshen, and that's already been done. Yochanan Amar, Yochanan says on the other hand, Kevan Dichtiv Velavasha Kohen Midobad, Kevan Ditzarich LeBigdei Kuhuna, since it says that the Kohen has to wear Bigdei Kuhuna, perform the Hotzat Adeshen, Bikdushatei Koi. It remains in its Kedusha. What they're referencing to here is that with regards to the ashes, there are actually two Abodot that are associated with the ashes. There's Trumat Adeshen, which was a daily activity in which they used to move around the pyre, dig their shovel into the inner part of the ash piles or the coal piles, scoop some out, take it down the ramp, and then again on the eastern side of the ramp, they used to put it in the place what was called the Beit HaDeshen. Going into the Chazal, it was miraculous, and anything that was placed there was swallowed up in location, whether that's because it was still subject to Me'ilah, or whether it's because otherwise it would be untenable, the amount of stuff that was being placed there. And the question of whether it's consumed in place, or whether it has to be taken out eventually to the Beit HaDeshen outside of Yerushalayim, is a Machloket Rashi in the Rebbeinu Tam as to what happens to all that Deshen that's sitting there on the side of the Mizbeach. That's what's called Trumat HaDeshen. That's something that's a daily activity, and it's found in the Korbanot that we say in Davening because it is a daily activity. Besides that, there's also a separate activity called Hotzat HaDeshen. Hotzat HaDeshen is when the pile, the Tapuach, got too big. Eventually, they had to clear out the ashes from the Mizbeach. They couldn't leave them there permanently. That's called Hotzat HaDeshen. That Hotzat HaDeshen was taking those ashes and taking them out to the Beit HaDoshen outside of Yerushalayim, where they'll be placed there and remain. So the question is that Hotzat HaDeshen a residual mitzvah? Now, there is a machlok between Rashi and the Rambam as to whether Hotzat HaDeshen was a daily activity, or was it only a when necessary activity. For the Rambam, it sounds like Hotzat HaDeshen was a mitzvah that was done daily. Just like the Trumat HaDeshen was done daily, so was the Hotzat HaDeshen done daily. Rashi seems to indicate that only when necessary was the Hotzat HaDeshen done. When it got too big, the Tapuach, then they did Hotzat HaDeshen, so it was on a need basis, not on a daily basis that the Hotzat HaDeshen is done. Now, what Rabbi Yochanan points out is that the Torah says that you have to put on Midoy Bad, and there we have the Tana debate Rabbi Yishmael that says the clothes with which you work before your master, the clothes for which you use in the Avodat Hashem, they can't be the same clothes that you use for taking out the garbage. So you have to have different clothing for that because it would be inappropriate to dress in your finest clothes to take out the garbage or to remove the deshen. Therefore, the Torah prescribes that you put on different clothing. Now, that different clothing is still Bigdei Kuhuna. They're just a cheaper form of the Bigdei Kuhuna, but that means literally cheaper, or because they were cheaper because it was used for the ashes, or taking out the ashes, and they become soiled sometimes and get ruined sometimes by the Deshen. So that is a requirement for Bigdei Kuhuna. But they're not the regular Bigdei Kuhuna, they're a low-level Bigdei Kuhuna. That basically becomes the machlok between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, if it's Bigdei Kuhuna, it's avoda. Tavoda, then you haven't finished the mitzvah. That means until Hotzat HaDeshen is done, there's still a problem of Hana'ah Me'ilah with regards to the Tapuach. The other hand, Rav says, Hotzat HaDeshen, first of all, if you follow Rashi, it's optional. You only have to do it when it's necessary. And number two is, you can't wear your regular big day gunah. That should be an indication that you're done with the mitzvah. This is a practical issue, which is they got to clear this out of here. It's not an issue of an avoda. And if that's the case, then there's no residual mi'ilah here because netzeh mitzvato, whatever mitzvah have to be done are done with the Trumat HaDeshen. That's just left behind. You got to clear it out every once in a while, but that's not an ikuv in terms of the mi'ilah. That's the machloket here that we have between Rav and Rav Yochanan with regards to the deshen that's left after Trumat HaDeshen. It's not. Our Mishnah presents a problem for Rav. Our Mishnah says, it says there that you have meal in them until they're taken out to the Dadoshin. So Kasha, the Rav. So that's a problem for Rav. Because here it sounds like until they're taken out to the Beit HaDoshin, this is Hotzat HaDeshin. That means the one that's totally outside of Yerushalayim. It means the completion of that process is not done until, or the Me'ilah exists until you do Hotzat HaDeshin. Amar Lecha Rav, Achin Tireh the Beit HaDoshin. It's not that it actually has to be taken out. It's when it's Ra'oi to be taken out to the Beit HaDoshin. Which means that once the Trumat HaDeshin is done, that's sufficient. Or basically what Rav is saying is, Ad Beit HaDoshin doesn't mean to take out this to the Beit HaDoshin. It means when this is ready for the Beit HaDoshin, because the Beit HaDoshin that is necessary is Trumat HaDoshin. That's the only one that's necessary. Anything that's residual is not necessary. And therefore, there's no din of Me'ilah, because Naseh Mitzvato. Beit HaVei, Kalash Bakum Al-Gabe Mizbeach, all these items that popped off the Mizbeach, Lo Yachzir, you don't put it back on. V'chein gachelet, and so do a kol shepakame al gabei mizbeach that popped off the mizbeach lo yachzir. They don't go back on the mizbeach. Now this is a mishnah that's found in Zvachim. The question of what the antecedent of the kulan is subject to a machloket rishonim. Rashi and the Bali Tosfot both here and there discuss the fact that it's referencing to the mishnah that was prior to that. The mishnah prior to that speaks about certain items that don't belong on the Mizbeach, like the atzamot, the gidim, the tlalfayim, the hooves, the sinews, the bones, those aren't things that belong on the Mizbeach. What goes on the Mizbeach are the emurim and the basar. The bones and all these other items don't go on the Mizbeach. Therefore, if they are segregated or separated out, you would not put them on the Mizbeach. If they are subsumed in an item that goes on the Mizbeach, then we just put them on the Mizbeach, and we don't separate it out. We don't take it off the Mizbeach. So in an instance, for instance, where the head of the animal is put on the Mizbeach, even though the hair or the zakan of the goat doesn't belong on the Mizbeach, since that part and parcel of the head, when you put the head on the Mizbeach, it goes all onto the Mizbeach. But if the part, like the hooves, the horns, the hair was taken off the animal and was separate, then you would not put it on the Mizbeach. Imalu, you're due. If you put it on, you have to take it off. According to Rashi and Tosfot, that means they were put on the hat there. They were put on in a way that they were attached to something. That's why they were put on. It was a limb that had the bones in it. It was the head that still had the horns on it or still had the hair on it. All these items were put on the hat there. But then, once they were burning on the pyre, a piece of them popped off. Now, the piece that popped off was one of those items that didn't need to be on the Mizbeach in the first place. It only went on agav, whatever it was attached to. For instance, let's take a bone that is now a charred bone, or now a gachelet, or a coal, because it's been consumed by the fire. That bone didn't necessarily belong on the Mizbeach. It went on the Mizbeach because it went with the basar, went whatever else went on the Mizbeach, it went with it. Now, if you have this bone that is separate on the pyre, pops off the Mizbeach, then there's no obligation to put it back on. Because in the first place, you didn't have to put it on. So now, certainly, where it popped off, you don't have to replace it onto the Mizbeach. As opposed to a kosher item, if it pops off the Mizbeach, you got to put it back on the Mizbeach. That's Rashi and Tosafot. There are others who believe that the Kulan over here is not just a reference to those items, but reference to even cases of Korbanot Psulim that don't belong to Mizbeach, but we say, Imalu, Lo Yerdu. They get on the Mizbeach, we don't take them off. But if they do pop off the Mizbeach, then you would not return them to the Mizbeach. Not that you don't have to, but it sounds like you shouldn't return them to Mizbeach. Now, we'll follow Rashi and Tosafot and say they were speaking about items that didn't need to go on the Mizbeach, but they went on as ancillary items to things that do go on the Mizbeach. And given that, if they pop off the Mizbeach, you don't have to replace them. It says over here, if they come off the Mizbeach, you don't have to put them back on. Ha, the diuk we made is, agabe Mizbeach yachzir. They move around on the Mizbeach, you have to bring them back into the pyre. So it's only if they pop totally off the Mizbeach that you don't have to return them. But if they only move on the Mizbeach from one side to the other, You have to return them to the pyre. You have to keep them burning. Now, Bishlam, other Rabbi Yochanan, Eichav, Rabbi Yochanan makes sense, because according to him, the mitzvah is not done. Even though they're now ashes, and even though now they're coals, there's still a mitzvah to continue burning them, or there's a mitzvah of Otzat HaDeshen, there's still a residual mitzvah over here. El Rav, Kasha. According to Rav, it's somewhat problematic, because these items, according to him, the Otzat HaDeshen is done. Why does it matter that they're still in Mizbech, they're a coal, whatever it is that's there, that shouldn't have any bearing over here. As Rashi notes over here, the gachelet, or the coal that we're speaking about here, is lo marib gachelet de emurim. These are clearly not the coals of the emurim. Ela gachelet de etzim kamar. These are the coals of the wood itself that's used in the pyre. De'ev gachelet de emurim, hayah chayav lachzir. If it's a coal of the emurim, you gotta put it back on this back, because you have to consume it completely. You can't just stop the process. Sharei lo nasait mitzvatana shen nitra machumat adeshen. The mitzvah is not complete until Tumat HaDeshen is done. Umashma nami afilu begachelet shebetapuach mayri. And Rashi spoke of it, said it's even a coal that is found in the tapuach. And that's because it doesn't define what the gachelet is. And as Rashi notes, there must have been some coals that were in the tapuach. And therefore could only even be referring to a coal that popped out of the tapuach. And from there, it sounds like those coals need to be returned if they move off the tapuach onto the mizbeach. Either have to be returned to the tapuach or have to be returned to the pyre. Sounds like your mitzvah is not done. That means you're still subject to milah. That would be supportive of Rabbi Yochanan's contention over here that the mitzvah is not done. And again, that would be problematic for Rav, who says nasem mitzvato. So why is there any reason to return it to the tapuach at that point in time? Tosfot says over here, why don't we just answer that the situation here was that it was prior to chatzot, meaning that after the Tumat HaDeshen is done, Nasem mitzvato. Our scenario over here, we have to be machzirit, is a case where it was prior to the Tumat HaDeshen being done. And the reason you have to return it is because of the fact that you still haven't taken off the Tumat HaDeshen. And this could be the Tumat HaDeshen. That is rejected by the Sar Mikutzi, who says that there's plenty more ashes on the Mizbeach to do Tumat HaDeshen. You don't need to return it in order to do Tumat HaDeshen. And that can't be the reason that you need to put it back on the Mizbeach. And therefore, whatever is being said here, it's being said whether it's prior to or after Tumat HaDeshen. And then it's a problem for Rav, because if it's after Tumat HaDeshen, according to Rav, it shouldn't be any problem by now. It shouldn't be any requirement to return it to the Mizbeach or to the Tapuach. So Gemara says, Amar lecha Rav, Shani Gachelet. A Gachelet is not the Tapuach. De'it be mashasha. Because a Gachelet still has substance to it. Since it has substance to it, therefore, the mitzvah is not complete. When you do the Tumat HaDeshen, that's exactly what it is. Deshen is talking about ashes. The tapuach is comprised of ashes, and the Tumat HaDeshen is taking off of those ashes. So even though there are coals mixed in, and the coals come off sometimes with Tumat HaDeshen, the primary aspect is that of deshen of ashes. That means if it's a gechelet, you still haven't finished the mitzvah. If you haven't finished the mitzvah, that's why you got to return it. Not because of a problem of Hanenamiya Tapuach, this is a problem that the coals are not classified as deshen. So it's not classified as deshen, then the mitzvah is not done. Iga da'amar la lahach pisa. Some people actually formulate this whole, what we just said now, in a question to Rabbi Yochanan. Taima mishum de gachelet ibe mashosha. The reason you have to return it is because it is a gachelet. Ha efer, de lebe mashosha. If you're talking about ashes that don't have any substance to them, avilu de gabe mizbeach emolim bo. Sounds like from there that even by the Mizbeach there would be no Milah, meaning that there'd be no requirement when they're on the Gabi Mizbeach to return them, because there is no Milah associated with them. Bishlam al Rav Necha, that works well for Rav, that there is no din of Milah with regards to Deshen. It's only by the coals that you have a problem. Ela the Rabbi Yochanan, who says there is a problem of Milah by the Deshen as well. Kasha, that's a problem. Samarcha Rabbi Yochanan, hu adin da filu efer. When it says the gachelet, it's not to the exclusion of Afer, it means also Afer. Behind the time it took Dani gachelet, why did then it mention gachelet if ashes are also subject to the same din? Ka'ate lashmi'inan, the filu gachelet. Deep by Mashasha, that's coming to tell us that even a coal that has substance to it, kipoka al mizbeach lo yafzir. If it goes off the mizbeach, don't put it back. So for him, the chedesh is not the part that diok, which is what's on the mizbeach. The focus is not what's on the Mizbeach, what's going off the Mizbeach. You off the Mizbeach, it's a bigger chiddush that a coal doesn't go back on the Mizbeach, then Deshen doesn't go on the Mizbeach. Deshen doesn't go on the Mizbeach because you're done. But the Gachelet, but there's still something left, there's still some substance to it, maybe there you'd have to return it to the Mizbeach. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. It's coming to teach you. Even the Gachelet doesn't need to be returned to the Mizbeach. And now the Gemara says, Itmar, Hanene mi basar kodshe kodoshim, lifnei zvikat damim, veimurei kodshim kalim, lachar zvikat damim. So the question, if you get hana from the basar of the kodshe kodoshim, before zvikat adam is done. So zvikat adam releases it from mi'ila. Question is, hana before that time, basar kodshe kodoshim, and the imurim kodshim kalim. Again, after zvikat adam, where they turn into a problem of mi'ila. So there, Rav Amar, Mashenene, Ipluvin Adava. In all these cases, everybody agrees there's a problem of mi'ila. That's not the question. Question is, we know, and we're going to see this in a second in the Gemara, that when it comes to paying back mi'ila, whatever you got hana from, whatever you misappropriated, when you pay back the Karen V'chomesh, it's got to do the same thing or simulate whatever it was that you got hana from. How do you replace it? How do you create the Karen V'chomesh to replace it? That's the machloket. So Rav says, whatever you get benefit from, Ipun in the Dava. Goes to the Dvat HaTzibur, goes into those coffers for Kayit Samizbeach. The Levi Amar, Yavish Davar Shekulo LeMizbeach. You bring something that's entirely dedicated to the Mizbeach. Because over here, you were Nene from something that, at that point in time, belonged to the Mizbeach. Again, by the Kodshim Kalim, it's the Imurim. That is going to be that way. For the Kodshei Kodashim, by Basar, if it's an Olah, then it would have ended up on the Mizbeach. If it's any one of the other Kodshei Kodashim, it would end up with Hetel HaKohanim. But at this time, or this point in time, it's still Shayach the Mizbeach. Until the Zrikat Adam is done and releases it from the Mizbeach, it's still Shayach the Mizbeach. How Shayach the Mizbeach is it? So Rav says, somewhat, but not totally. And therefore, goes to the Nidavah. We'll bring something that goes on the Mizbeach, but it doesn't have to be something so dedicated to the Mizbeach. You can bring with it the Olot for Kayitz and Mizbeach, even though the Kohanim get the Olot. The way that Levi says it is, it's got to be completely dedicated to the Mizbeach. And the only way to do that is to bring something that entirety goes on the Mizbeach. We'll see in a second the Gemara, that means Ketoret. There are other things like Mitchat Nesachim, certain items that are brought to the Mizbeach that are completely burnt on the Mizbeach. And their machlok, it seems to revolve around the basar and the emurim, which are items that are going to be completely brought on the Mizbeach. So then does it need to be replaced with something that completely goes on the Mizbeach? Or is it sufficient that you bring a korban? They were part of a korban. And so do now, when you bring a korban to replace them, that is a sufficient replacement, especially since, because sometimes even by kodshei kodashim, the basar doesn't end up on the Mizbeach, it's achilah lekohanim, which would then make the kohanim relevant in some situations, which can maybe explain why Rav wants you to bring a korban olah that a portion goes to the kohanim. And the Meshech Chokma even adds to that the fact that the parshia of mi'ilah actually mentions that the payment goes the kohen to yet. That's telling you that the kohen is a relevant factor when you're paying mi'ilah for the replacement of korbanot. It says, Tanya Kavati de Levi, we have a bright supportive of Levi's position, mi'ilah zo leheichan olechet. When you're paying the mi'ilah, where do the funds go to? What are they dedicated towards? Tamidim lifnei chachamim. Those tamidim that sit before the chachamim. Rashi says over here, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that tamidim lifnei chachamim was a reference to Levi in front of Rabbi. Levi learning in front of Rabbi, that's who we're speaking about here. That Levi, that's brought in the Braita. The Bali Tosafot are bothered by that for two reasons. The first of which is, Levi never appears in a Mishnah or a Braita. We have Braitot of Levi, but Levi himself never appears inside of a Braita. And this would be Levi appearing in the Braita if it is really Tamidim Lifnei Chachamim. The second thing is that Tosafot says, structurally, you don't say Tanya Kavata de Levi. You have a Braita that supports Levi and then bring Levi's own words. How's that a Tanya Kavata de Levi? Why is that a Braita like Levi? That is Levi. You can't bring a proof to Levi from Levi. So therefore, the Bali Tosafot would say here, even though Tamidim Lifnei Chachamim, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is a reference to Levi, over here it's clearly not a reference to Levi, because you can't make sense out of the Braita if you do say such. So this Braita says, this Mi'ila, where does it go? Tamidim Lifnei Chachamim Omim, Yavid Davar, Shekulo LeMizbeach. It brings something that goes Kulo LeMizbeach. Ma'inihu, what is an example of that? Ketoret, and again, I mentioned there are other things like Minchat Nesachim, other items that go Kulo LeMizbeach. Whatever it is, that's what you should do to replace that what you misappropriated from Ekdesh. Tanya Kavata de Rav. We do have a bright that supports Rav's contention as well. Hanene midmei chatat umidmei asham. Someone who gets benefit from the monies that were set aside to purchase a chatat, or monies set aside to purchase an asham. Ad shelo karva chatato, till the point of the akrava of the chatat, then yosif v'yavi chatato. Add in the monies, the keren v'chomesh, to that which you misappropriated, and then bring a bigger korban. Ad shelo karva ashamo, yosif v'yavi ashamo. Similar to the asham. If you've yet to bring the asham, buy a bigger asham. When you misappropriated those monies that were dedicated to the chatat asham, when you place the keren, you get back to the same level it was before. You add on a chomesh, that's the bonus. What they're saying is bring a fatter chatat. Bring a fatter asham, and that's the way that you will repay hekdesh with these monies, because you take the keren and chomesh and dedicate it towards that karban. Karayv chatato. Once the chatat was already karev, yochulo yam ha-melech. Then the monies of the chatat go to yam ha-melech, kvar karev ha-shamo, and in the case where the asham already ended up in zbeach, yiplu the nidava. Then they go to the nidava, the idea being that they are motor chatat and motor asham. And a motor chatat is the mita. The equivalent of mita for monies is taking them to yam ha-melech. Motor asham is l'nidava. And a motor asham goes to the kites mizbeach, to the korbanot tzibur. And so therefore these monies also should be dedicated to the coffers of the tzibur, to nidvat tzibur. What's interesting over here is the fact that even though at this point in time, the monies that you're going to separate out, the keren v'chomesh, are going to go to yam ha-melech, which means it basically means they're going to ibud. When you usually compensate or you make remuneration to a person, the monies have to reach the individual who suffered the loss. And therefore, it's only when you are rectifying that loss that you pay. If that person passes away, or there is nobody to repay, then you keep the monies because your repayment is not meaningful at that point in time because it doesn't do anything to fill or to rectify the loss. You see here, that is not true with regards to Me'ilah. And that you pay the Me'ilah irrespective of whether there is actually any compensation being made to Hekdesh, because here, even if it goes to Yam HaMelech, so the importance with regards to paying a Me'ilah is not the recipient of Hekdesh or the Mizbeach, but rather the payer. The one who's paying it has to pay it. That's what is meaningful here in the repayment. It's almost as if it's a kenas, or it's almost as if he has to disgorge that which he took in terms of the Hekdesh, and therefore he pays that irrespective of the fact that it goes to the Ibud. So that's what the Gilad Yaakov points out, as being a major difference between the compensation made by the misappropriation of Hekdesh or by Me'ilah versus regular cases of Gneva and Gezeilah. So now, the simple way of reading this is that what happened here was prior to the Korban being brought and after the Korban being brought, and that's the question. If you have the monies after the Korban are being brought, meaning that you want to pay your Keren V'chomesh after the Korban is brought, that Keren V'chomesh can no longer be used towards your Korban, and therefore it's going to go to Motar. If you brought the Keren HaChomesh before the Korban was brought, then it sounds like you add it in, you buy a bigger Korban. That's not exactly, first of all, feasible, because if you already bought the Korban, just because it's before the Akrava, you can't add the money to it. That's number one. Number two is, after Akrava da Korban, then what are you talking about? As Tosafot says here, Ein l'faresh to the mashma. So know the lo shemao kodem shekarva chatat. He found out about the Me'ilah before he brought the Korban. That means the Korban was brought before he knew about the Me'ilah. V'ef Shalomar came. Can't say that. The Had Rabba Kamar, Rabba on tomorrow's daf, is going to say, if the Korban is already brought and the Kapara is attained, then whatever money you're bringing at this point in time is not Motar Chatat. It wasn't even around at the time that you brought your chatat. The chatat's done. It's out of the picture now. Clearly there, everybody agrees that that motar goes in the nidava. So Tosafot says you can't take this karev chatato or lo karev chatato at face value. Because then you're going to end up in a situation post the bringing of the korban, you're still taking money to the Yam HaMelech, which is just not true. And also beforehand, how are you going to deal with it? Because beforehand, how do you add money to a korban that already exists? Therefore, he says, El hachi peirusho. This is the explanation, Achim. Question is, not when he found out the information. Question is, when does he try to solve the problem? But Tosafot moves up the threshold point and says, he definitely found out before he brought the korban. He knows about it beforehand. It's just now he's bringing the monies to fulfill it. And so Tosafot says that if you know about it beforehand, and now you're coming to pay for it after the chatat was over, you already nitzchaper with the other one, that's already sufficient grounds to have it go to Yam HaMelech, because you brought the monies after shenit kaper ba'acher, but you were aware of it, or you knew about it before that kapara took place, therefore it's associated with that korban. In addition, it seems to be clear that if you had purchased the korban already, that you can't add those monies to the korban that's already purchased, and then you'll be in the same bind, even if you bring the monies beforehand. And that we'll see in the Baitos, but later, that even if both of them are ra'ui the mizbeach, nevertheless, the monies, when you bring the first katat, will go to the Yam HaMelech. So Tosfot moves up the threshold point, basically, to the point of time when you use the money to buy the korban. Once you bought the animal, at that point in time, you've already made the decision not to include whatever it was. So if you found out before that, you can add the monies. If you found out after that, it's still prior to your kapara, but it's at a point in time where you can't do anything with the money because you already bought the korban chatat. Then the monies become motor chatat or motor hasham, and then they're subject to the rules of the braita. Someone gets a nod from Kodshei Kodoshim before Zvikat Adam. Whatever nod you get goes to Nidava. That sounds exactly like Rav's position that we saw before. Kol korbanot ha-mizbeach la-mizbeach. Any korban that is dedicated towards the mizbeach goes to the mizbeach. So the Gemara will ask in a second. So here the Braita makes a generic statement that everything from the Mizbeach goes to the Mizbeach. So that basically meshes with what we said until now with regards to things that were dedicated to Mizbeach. The one problem is the Gemara is going to note the fact that we have certain circumstances where he goes the Ibud, and that's not going to the Mizbeach. Korbanot, Kodshei, Perek HaBayit, the Perek HaBayit. Things that are dedicated towards Perek HaBayit, when you bring the payment of that Mi'ilah, the Keren V'chomesh, it's going to go to the Perek HaBayit. Korbanot, Tzibur, the Nidvat Tzibur. If you misappropriate the korbanot ha-tzibur, you get a note from them, then the monies that you dedicate are going to go to nidvat ha-tzibur. They're going to go towards nidavot that are brought for the tzibur, the korbanei olah, the kayetz ha-mizbeach. In both of these cases of korbanot berek ha-bayit as well as korbanot tzibur, Tosafot makes the point that afilu meitu balim. Even if the balim die, it still goes to these items. By the case of the Berek HaBayit, it's because the Shem Balim are not associated with the monies that go to the Berek HaBayit. And if you are moel in that item where the Balim already passed away, nevertheless, it goes to Berek HaBayit, irrespective of whether the Balim are alive or not. And by Korbanot HaTzibur, the Tzibur never dies. And so there, that's not a disqualifying factor because Dor Olech V'Dor Ba, so there are changing generations, but that doesn't mean that corporate entity Klal Yisrael has quote-unquote, died, and therefore none of these have that requirement that the Balim must be alive in order for their dedication. So here, in both those cases, Tosafot says, even if the Balim died and you are Mo'el in it, you still have to pay Mi'ilah, the Berek HaBayit. So now the Gemara asks the question that we noted. Hagu v'gash, you have an internal stira in the Braita. Ach lo korva chatato, yosif yavi chatato. Mishikarva chatato, yelchul yam ha-melech. So over there, it speaks about what you have to do with the korbanot. And then it says, "Katani kol korbanot ha-mizbeach, ha-mizbeach." Everything goes to the mizbeach. Veloshna doesn't make a difference. Dichpur balim veloshna yichad lo yichpur. And that statement in the Braita makes no difference or differentiation between whether kapara was already attained or kapara was not attained. That distinction is not mentioned by anything that goes on the mizbeach. Sounds like anything literally that goes on the mizbeach goes to the mizbeach. So how do you reconcile with the korban chatat where it's going to Yam HaMelech? And now you're saying to me, anything that goes on the mizbeach has to be dedicated to the mizbeach. So the Gemara answers, Reisha Rabbi Shimoni. Reisha is Rabbi Shimon Damar Kochatat Shekipru Baalea Tamut. Any korban chatat that the Baalim attained kapara through a different korban chatat, then that residual chatat, or what's left over, goes lemita. The Seifa Rabbonan. And the Seifa is the Rabbonan that don't have that view that Rabbi Shimon has. Amar Rav Gviya de Bein Katil, the Rav Ashi, Ochi Amar Abayi. That's how Abayi explains this as well. Reisha Rabbi Shimon, V'Seifa Rabbonon. So the difference being that when you have the din of Yelchul Yam HaMelech, that's the view of Rabbi Shimon, that any motor chatat, Shekipru Baalea, goes the mita. He has the most extreme view with regards to this. Anytime you have a choice between two korbanei chatat and you chose one of them for kapara, the other one goes the mita. The Rabbanan only say that if it was avud b'shat afrasha. If it was lost at the time of afrasha, then it's found later after the kapara. That's when you have a mita. But if they both are there before you at the time that you're doing the kapara, then the one that you don't use is a motor chatat that goes to the nidava and is not subject to mitah. So that's exactly what's going on in the braita. The part of the braita that says yechulu yom ha-melach is the equivalent of the mitah. That's authored by Rabbi Shimon. That's a motor chatat that is going to go to yom ha-melach. On the other hand, the part of the braita that says everything to the mizbeach goes to the mizbeach is the view of the chachamim. Now, the Bali Tosafot over here, interesting enough, discuss why did the Gemara pick Rabbi Shimon as a representative of that position. We know, and we saw this in Tmurah, that there's the position of Rabbi, who argues on the Chachamim, and he's the one actually has the machloki with the Chachamim as regards to Korban Chatat that's lost as to whether Kipru Bala. Rabbi Shimon is just Rabbi plus. But Rabbi over here could have been the author of this position, and why did the Gemara say, Ha Rabbi, Ha Rabbonon. So Tosafot at first just says, Ein Ochanami. It could have said Rabbi. It just picked Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi plus. So that's why he did it. In the end, the Bali Tosafot back away from that and say, maybe Rabbi would not believe that that's the case here, and it has to be Rabbi Shimon. And that is because Rabbi Shimon argues on the Chachamim, even when you're Mafrish Tu Chataot L'Chachrayut, even if the animal wasn't lost, and you didn't take out a new one to replace it, it's a case where you started out with two chataot, one backup for the other. In that case, Rabbi Shimon still believes that chatat goes lemita. Rabbi clearly does not believe that. Rabbi only says it in the case of avud, that there is a mita. That is much more similar to our case over here. Because our case over here is a case where he has the chatat and he has the monies. Everything is available before the kapara is done. They're both rowing the mizbeach. Because over here, had he known about it early enough, or had he brought the money early enough, he would have added it to the other korban and made it into a bigger, fatter korban. So that's a case where they were both ruim at the same time. And now you brought one chatat, the residual, the fact that that residual goes to the Yom HaMelech, is similar to a case where they were both ruim, the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon, even in that case, says it goes to Mitah, and that's why it's uniquely or specifically Rabbi Shimon and not Rabbi in this case. And even though Rabbi Shimon agrees in a case where you separate out two piles of money for a chatat l'achrayut, over there one pile will go to the korban, and the other pile will not go to Yom HaMelech. So over here, why don't you say the same thing? So Tosafot differentiates and says, there where you started out with two piles from the outset, you knew one of the two piles was not going towards the chatat, and therefore the other one doesn't go to Yom HaMelech, it goes to Motor Chatat. But over here, where you never intended for there to be two piles of money from the outset, then when you get that second, quote-unquote, pile of money from the Keren and the Chomesh, that already is a new entity that you're bringing into the picture, and that you didn't have in mind for up front, and that will create a problem of having two korbanot, or two things that are really in the Mizbeach. One of them was on Mizbeach, the other one is the Mitah, or the Yom HaMelech. And that's why the Gemara picked Rabbi Shimon as the representative, and not Rabbi. Okay, we're going to stop here, three lines down on the top of Yud Amud Aleph.